Disciples of Jesus are learning to walk in faith. Have you ever heard that? I hope you've heard it. If you've been hanging around here, you've heard it. That's one of the things that we say is a characteristic of disciples. We walk in faith. And we're going to look at a picture of walking in faith this morning. A word picture, but nevertheless, a story of exactly that, how the nation of Israel walked in faith right across a river. Now, just as a little bit of review from the book of Joshua, remember that God had appointed Joshua leader over Israel to replace Moses. And of course, Joshua, had his most of his life had led up to this point. And God gave him some commands. We read that in the first chapter. He told Joshua to be strong and courageous. And he also told him to stay in the word. He said, do not let this book of the law depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And we've already seen how Joshua was immediately faithful and obedient to what God was telling him. And even the people, at least in the beginning of this book, they're faithful, they're eager, they want to obey. And then in chapter 2, we read about Rahab of Jericho, a pagan prostitute in an enemy city, and her testimony about the Lord. And it's repeated through the chapter because it's important to the story. And she tells how the people of the land were in fear of Israel because they knew what God was doing. She said, we've heard about how God saved you by parting the Red Sea and you walked across on dry land ahead of the Egyptian army. And we've heard about how you conquered the kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan just recently, and you've taken that land for yourselves, and our hearts are melting in fear. The Lord, she said, has indeed given you this land. The Lord, your God, is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. That was her confession, her testimony about the Lord. And those two spies that were talking to her there in Jericho, they came, remember, they came back to Joshua and faithfully reported what they had seen and heard. And their testimony was, the Lord has surely given us the whole land, and all the people are melting in fear because of us. And we're moving closer to the river. Look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Now hold up there a minute. If you've been reading in Joshua, you might be trying to figure out this system of 3 days. It's, in 3 days they did this. And when I read verse 1, I was like, but wait, they're not crossing yet. They camped again. They got to the river and they camped again. They've already had the go speech. Although we realize, too, that chronology is not important to the narrator here. He doesn't care about chronology. He wants you to understand what God was doing. But I just had this thought, they've got to camp again. Let's get across the river. How do you keep a crowd of 2 million people motivated and on track, look, going the right direction? It's hard to keep a church this size going the same direction and everybody fired up. How did he keep them fired up? Well, I thought, music does that. Music gets people fired up, doesn't it? I mean, the right music. It gets you ready to go. And believe it or not, our team of researchers here at LBC, did you know we had a team of researchers? Our team of researchers have found one of the songs that Joshua played over the PA system. They're by the river. Some of you are laughing. Let's play. We're going to play a little bit. Listen, it's an old song, so listen carefully. Thank you. Okay. So maybe Joshua didn't have a PA system. Maybe he didn't have Stephen Curtis Chapman playing over the PA system. But that would have been a good one, wouldn't it? I'm diving in. The water's deep, but I'm getting in. How many of you were thinking about the motions? Raise your hand if you remember when we used that song as a theme for Disciple Now. I wish Diane was here. She could show us the motions. I'm glad there are a few. I'm glad a few remember it. It's very distinct in my mind, and this chapter has stood out to me ever since. Sandy and I got to see Stephen Curtis Chapman recently in San Antonio, playing to a crowd about this size. It was cool. Him and a guitar, and he started with that song, and he said, "I know you want to do the motions, you know." People my age and older. Maddie, I was glad to see you identifying with the song. It's good. We better get back to the word. Let's start over again in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So the whole nation broke camp at Shittim. They've moved up closer to the river, camped again. They can see the flooding river. They can see the other side. This land was promised to them around 1,000 years earlier. Can you imagine the anticipation and the anxiety? The people knew God's power. Now, this generation were children or not yet born when their nation had crossed the Red Sea 40-some years earlier. But they had heard the stories over and over. They had lived off manna and quail now all of their lives. They saw God's hand just recently defeat the kings on the other side or on where they're camped in that region. And they didn't know what for sure was about to happen, but they knew it was big. Something big is about to happen. Joshua said, "You are about to see amazing things." And he told them, "You haven't been this way before, so watch the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and you will know where to go." Watch the Ark of the Covenant. And then he told them, "Consecrate yourselves." That means get spiritually ready. Now, to them, that would have been some ritual involved of preparing themselves. But it means to us to get ourselves spiritually ready. And that may involve some ritual. But it definitely means getting the sin out of your life and getting prayed up and ready for God to move. Be spiritually clean and ready for God to move. And Joshua said, "Tomorrow you will see God do amazing things." God is about to prove himself again to Israel and to all the people in the land. He's about to show off his power and his sovereignty. I picture him rolling up his sleeves. God rolling up his sleeves and bearing his mighty arm for his people. And just like I said before, don't worry too much about the chronology. We see then and 3 days, and it's hard to work all that out. It's just not important to the narrator. You know, even when you're watching a movie, you have flashback scenes and you have people in different places and time. But finally, the time kind of comes together for the big point. That's sort of what we're doing here. Picking up in verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot on the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." Are you seeing the drama? Can you get the picture of what's going on here? Are you ready to cross the river? God gave Joshua specific instructions. He had these Levitical priests carry the Ark of the Covenant and go into the river. And he said, when you get to the river, go and stand in it. Tell the people to watch the Ark and follow, but don't go any nearer than 1,000 yards to the Ark. 10 football fields, stay 10 football fields away from the Ark. Why? Because that's the very presence of God, and you can't stand it, and I don't want you touching my box. You will see God doing amazing things. Watch and follow. And then Joshua named off some pretty scary tribal people. All those Ites, they were a pretty bad lot. He told Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel. And later we're going to find out what their job is. But just know that those are not the priests. That's a different 12 guys, one from each tribe. They're not the priest carrying the Ark. And he said, when the priests step into the water, the river will stand up in a heap upstream and the riverbed will be dry. Now, these people are facing a faith crisis. Be faithful and obedient, and you will see divine, God-sized events unfold. Now, we all come to these points in our life, don't we? Where we have to decide, am I going to have faith in the Lord here and see what he's doing? Or am I going to take a safer route? We all come to those points. Sometimes they're small. Sometimes they're huge. Like, am I going to quit my job and go where he sends me? Am I going to give this comfortable part up to do whatever God is calling me to do? That's the kind of, they had to decide. Like their ancestors had decided wrongly 40 years before, they had to make a decision. Are we going to go? Are we going to wade off into this flooding river and follow the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord? Or are we just going to camp on this side? Everything's fine here. Which experience do you want? Do you want to go with God and see big things? Or just be safe? Do you think that some of the people were missing Moses right about then? You remember how Moses and his staff would always save us? You know, he stood on the hill and the sea split, he holding his staff. And our armies could defeat anyone as long as Moses was standing there with the staff. Where's Moses? Who has his staff? It would be a good time for somebody to stand on the hill with Moses' staff. But God had something better. He said, watch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Now you can go back to Exodus chapter 25 and find the very specific instructions God gave to Moses to build this box. By the way, ark just means vessel. So it's not a boat, it's a box. It's a vessel to carry something special. It was made from the best wood. It was covered with gold inside and out, which by the way would make it very heavy. They couldn't, the priests were not allowed to touch the box itself, so because they would die if they did. And so he had them make these poles that were also covered in gold. And they had to slip through the rings on the box, and that's how they carried the box. And do you remember the cover of the box? By the way, this box was somewhere a little over 3 feet long, a little over 2 feet wide and deep. Do you remember the cover? Hammered gold. This beautiful golden cover. And hammered into it were these two images of cherubim. Heavenly beings with their wings spread out toward each other, covering the top of the ark. It's a little picture of what goes on in heaven. Hammered in gold into this, the cover of this ark. This was a very special box. Inside the box was the tablets of stone to which God gave Moses and wrote the law. And that cover became known as the mercy seat of God. It was designed to illustrate to Israel, God is present. He is in your midst. Now he said, watch while this ark goes ahead of you, and then follow. Do you ever wish for a visible God? We all want that, don't we? And it's part of the reason Jesus came as a person, so that we could see God. But we don't get to see him personally yet, but we have the record of those who did. You remember Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who cannot see my body and touch my wounds and yet believe. Blessed are you if you believe. Now we need to read the rest of the chapter and find out what happened to these priests and the ark. And picking up in verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a great heap, in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Watch what God is doing and follow him. Think about the faith of those priests who carried the ark. A very heavy, gold-plated, holy box they were not allowed to touch, and they're told, carry it into the flooding river. Go in. The water will stop upstream. Okay, but it's flooding. And the water did not stop until they got their feet in. They had to commit. They had to be obedient. They didn't know what God was. They knew what the words were. But they had to get in to see it happen. Do you see how the faith of Joshua would have made an impression on those priests? As he's telling them, here's what God said. They really need to know that Joshua believes it, right? And the people need to know that the priest believe what God said. Do you see how that impact works? And the people followed. They followed and they crossed on dry ground. Your faith is really important to your family and to your friends and to your church and to our nation. Your faith has a big impact. Now, God did stop the water. 18 or so miles upriver, He stopped it near that village of Adam. You can probably find that on a map in the back of your Bible. You can look up on the north end of the Jordan River and find that spot. Now, it doesn't tell us what happened up there 18 miles away where the water piled up in a heap. Did it flood there? Did the fields and villages get flooded? I don't know. Who lived up there? A bunch of pagan folks, not God's people. You reckon they got concerned about what God was doing in their land right about then? I mean, if you're a superstitious kind of person to start with, and you see the river stop and pile up in a wall, what's going on? What God did this? Yahweh, the God of Israel, is moving. What about the people downriver toward the Dead Sea? Y'all, the river just dried up. Were they running out there to get the fish? I don't know. Were they worried about where water was going to come from? I expect so. The name of the Lord was going throughout the land. I don't know how fast news traveled then, but I reckon within hours, people from Syria to Egypt, from the mountains all the way to the Mediterranean, knew that the God of Israel was doing it again. Can you imagine what the people in Jericho were thinking when they heard about this? And I don't think it took them long to know. I think they were locking the doors. Those people's God is moving and it's big. Would you also believe that just so happens that the whole region of Palestine was destabilized politically right along in this period of time? There were two big powers. There was typically some power to the north. Just before this, it was the Hittites. And then Egypt to the south. Those were the big powers that tended to control all the people in Palestine. And it would change from time to time as who was in power, as it still does today. It just so happens that that was all in a destabilization. Those powers, Egypt, had been weakened, and the Hittites had become weakened. And so all these little groups down in the Palestine area were starting to struggle with each other. Well, it just so happens it's an opportune time to send a new nation in and take the land. God was moving globally. And He still is today. How wide and how deep is God's power? It's easy for me to get discouraged when I watch the news and I think about how crazy our world is these days. I mean, we're firing more rockets every week. we're testing the water with some pretty angry people. God is still sovereign. And we may not understand all that He's doing, but He is still in control. Will we follow Him? Even when we don't know what it looks like, even when we don't know exactly where we're going, when He speaks to us, when He gives us direction, will we follow Him? Do you have faith enough to step into a flooding river to follow the Lord? Do you want to see God do great things? If so, then gear up. Gear up. Get ready. Consecrate yourselves. I don't know all that God has ahead of us. We know we have some challenging times ahead. I think this is going to be a tremendous year for us, and I think it's going to be a lot of work and some trial and error. I do know this. God is sending us to our neighbors with His story. The good news about Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes only through Him. God, we know God is sending us to our neighbors right here in Lawn and in the Gymnet Valley and across the state and to the Czech Republic and to Lesotho, and wherever God sends us. Go. Go. In faith. Walk in faith. And to some of you, there's some real personal faith crisis going on. When the doctor tells you the bad news, or the job fails, or the investment fails, or the stock market goes nuts and you lose. How can we watch the Ark of the Covenant of God go before us? What did we read in Hebrews just a few weeks ago? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the world will go strangely dim. Let's pray.